Welcome to Everyday Drinkers, episode number 43, Baron Jaeger Cocktails. We ask that you respect the laws, drink responsibly, because that's what people tell us to say, because it sounds right. I'm your host, Derek Schomer, and I have with me today two other folks. We've got Doug and we've got Luke. We wanted to have Dave here, but he was unable to make it due to a trip to San Jose for work somewhere in California. Yeah, left coast. I don't know where that is. California, it's all the same to me. And Kate was going to arrive until she found out that getting Baron Jaeger in Massachusetts is quite hard to do. So that didn't work out. I don't know. What do you guys, Doug, now this was your idea, right?
It was. It was one of those things where I kept throwing it out. Like, I've been throwing it out forever because I thought it was funny. And
Right. Everybody
would say, yeah. And then Luke was like, yeah. And everybody else was like, yeah. And I was like,
yeah.
Really?
Exactly.
Dude, you say it every time, and eventually it's going to be done. That way, next time you say it, I will be like, no, what are you really doing? Because there won't be any inference of an actual podcast subject.
Yeah. Right.
Definitely been stringing you along way too long.
Right. We don't want to string anybody.
No. I don't want to be a drink tease no mo.
Well, the thing with the Baron Jaeger is, it, so far as I knew, like, the only thing that you could do with it is shoot it and get in trouble. And which was like, it was consistently not a good idea.
Right. It's like, but pants optional.
Right.
So for those that don't know what Baron Jaeger is, and there's probably a good chance of that since it seems to be hard to get, and from what Kate was saying, even the people that sell liquor don't know what Baron Jaeger is. It's a honey liqueur, in order to be like legal in the United States, and you know, I'll be fully transparent with our listeners because that's the way I roll. The folks at Sydney Frank, who are the firm behind the Jägermeister brand, or Baron Jaeger brand, has sent me a bottle for review, which it's someplace in the house. I don't really know. So I've got that, but it was, you know, I have my own bottle. I have the review bottle. It was Doug's idea, as we said. I just want to let people know in full disclosure that I wasn't paid to do it, but I also got stuff for free, and typically you want to be kind of open about that. Yeah, so I have some awesome connections, and I got a shitload of stuff for free, but, you know, that's just how I roll. So did you went out today and bought this?
Yes.
So you didn't have any problems finding it?
Nope. That's well, cool. I mean, sort of actually trying to browse through all the aisles and locate it, but...
Correct. I can see that. Because
there's plenty of stock.
Really? See, I never see, I've never actually checked stock, but this is like one of the products where do you find a honey liqueur? Like, you go to the schnapps section, which in my liquor stores, New Hampshire, state run, they don't have a schnapps section. I think, I don't know if it's called cordials or if they have something where it's kind of, it's assumed that if it's not a vodka, rum, tequila, a wine or whatever, then it's going to be in this other side of the store, but that's a big side. So... Yeah. You got to hunt through everything from apple schnapps to like flavored bourbons to Frangelicos, and even absinthe is stuffed over there. And then all of a sudden you can kind of find these weird liqueurs. Like, I think it's for us, it's near the orange liqueur and stuff like that. So it's kind of not something you just go and get, which is why I had suggested to people, if you can't find it, just ask the clerk. Say, I'm looking for Baron Jaeger honey liqueur. Maybe they know. But apparently from what Kate said, they're like, how do you spell that? Baron what? So that's a little bit of a problem. So some facts for you, just to confuse some English-speaking folks. Baron Jaeger employs some umlauts over the A's. That gives the A the long sound, like A, as opposed, because in German it would be A. So boom, you got your double dots, you got an A. And that confuses Doug. He doesn't understand when he gets emails that have dots in them. He thought they were like, what do you think they were?
Titties.
Titties. Yes. His A has nipples. Titties.
Technically.
Yeah, nipples, you're right. So, Baron Jaeger does employ four nipples, just for those that are doing a search. It's a quite important word, though, because Baron would be plural for bear, which already has nipples. Well, I mean, the word bear, B-A-Umlaut-R. So that's kind of cool. And you can't take them off.
Did you just, like, have a stroke?
Yeah, a little bit. And the thing is, you can't take those little dots off, because then, you know, that would change how the plural nature works for a lot of different verbs and nouns and such. Those are for those philology majors that might be out there. They might be interested in that. The word itself means bear hunter, like deer hunter, or what's Jägermeister? You know, hunter master. So that would be, it's got the Jaeger in it. So it sounds like this could be the same type of brand, but it actually has more of a naming convention. It's got the hunter thing. And oddly enough, though, in German, the liquor is called Bärenfang, which means bear trap. And if you look at the bottle, the bear is actually stepping into a trap.
Oh, he is. Poor fucker.
So, oh, it actually says, I don't know.
Hey, we got something for you, Winnie the Pooh. Come get this, honey, and then we're going to snatch your ass up.
That's right.
And then poor Yogi put his nose in the wrong picnic basket.
Yeah, he can get his nose bit off and then rape no lube. I don't know what, does yours say it has a big red label on it? I can't figure out what that those characters are. I think it says often Ruvslicher Baron Fong. So it does actually say Baron Fong on my bottle, at least. So that's kind of cool. Just for those that are confused. The liquor itself, let's see, what is this one?
Quick question for you guys. The bottle that you had is it the one with like the basket?
Yeah, dude, mine's got the weave.
Mine doesn't have the weave. They have new bottles here.
What?
Yeah. I have no weave.
So I've got a weave.
Like the weave is now part of the actual
picture?
Glass bottle mold.
What?
Yeah.
That's weird. But do you have the beer hive top or the beer hive? Beehive? That thing's annoying. It doesn't really work. So you twist it and the beehive falls off.
Oh, that didn't happen to me.
Oh, well, you got to twist it harder.
Does somebody else want to take that one?
That was just sitting out there for anybody to do with what they want. This liquor, by the way,
I'll take it. That's what she said.
That's what she said. The liquor we got here is, mine's 35%. I think everybody's going to have that. It's probably the same all over the country. But anywhere from 30 to 45%, so that's 60-90 proof, arriving in, for me, a kick-ass bottle of Yellow Eve and a beehive top for the cap. Don't confuse this with honeydew liqueur, as that would be something completely different using honeydew. This uses nectar, like honey, sweet-ass honey. None of that, like, that mildly bitter finish. This is like all sugar high right up in your grill piece.
It is. The way that I like to describe Baron Jaeger to people is, if you could imagine taking one of those plastic bear bottles of like honey, like the clover honey or just honey, and just squirting it in your mouth like,
Well,
that's what it tastes like.
So it's like you're giving honey a blowjob?
Like you do.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great.
Yes.
I mean, you got the sounds and shit. I don't know what's going on over there. Or you know what you could do? You could throw it in the microwave for like 15 seconds. What I do to kind of like get a little softer so you can actually pour it, because honey doesn't really pour very well. This, by the way, pours friggin' easy. So it's like, why use honey when you can use Baron Jaeger?
I'm going to use that in my next pizza instead of honey.
Pizza? Oh, honey what? Pizza.
What?
What the fuck?
Have you never put honey on your pizza before?
I guess not. Why would I do that? I mean, pizza already is going to give you a heart attack. Because I don't think it needs honey, because it's already kind of like, I don't know, got a lot of calories and all that and grease.
Is that an Iowa thing?
It's got to be.
Well, I suppose I picked it up from one of the local restaurants here.
See, that's weird. Well, we got a little cultural reference.
That you don't.
I know. Maybe, I don't know. You guys have a lot of potatoes, so I don't really know. Get it? It's not Idaho. It's Iowa, but you know, it's easily confused. Anyway, from the wiki, I was reading because the website, Baron Jaeger's website itself, is a little kind of boring in terms of, they have a neat little story, but that's the backstory doesn't really tell you anything about the history of this product. But apparently it was first developed in Eastern Prussia in the 15th century, which is older than I am. And it was brought first commercially as Baron Fong, produced in the capital city of Königsberg. And it's produced by some company called Toika and Koenig Company in someplace in Germany, Staghagen, I think. And the picture, of course, is, like we said, it's a fur trapper trapping a bear. And that's kind of giving you the impression of what you're drinking, I guess. That there's a story behind what bear hunters were drinking in the woods, and it was weird and whatever. So there is a backstory behind it, whether that's true or they were just looking for a way to like make it sound more interesting than it is, because you're just drinking honey liqueur. I don't know. I think it stands by itself. Pants or no pants, you could still drink this.
Agreed.
Yeah,
it's very drinkable. It's so fucking tasty.
It is. So, you know, you should be able to find it in other countries. I know, obviously, Massachusetts might as well be a country of its own around here, since it was so hard to get. But I don't know. I think that either way, it's a pretty tasty little beverage. So, what did you decide to make for a cocktail? You went something crazy, Doug, or are you going like shot-wise? I didn't want to do shots because I didn't want to get all fucked up.
Right now, I'm actually in the middle of pouring my layered shot, but the first thing that I made was I love Cherry Lime Rickey's, which is like a soda. It's cherry and lime. It's really sweet. So what I did was I ended up getting cherry liqueur.
Okay.
And to make the martini, I did 1.5 parts vodka, used Tito's, go Tito's, one part cherry liqueur, and then 1 part Baron Jaeger.
Now, whose cherry liqueur did you use?
I don't know. Some generic high-powered shit.
Oh, you didn't use herring?
All they had was like the Arrow.
Oh, Arrow. Okay. Yeah. So you're, yeah. Okay. I think that's up here. Arrow. So, okay. So yeah, you're the generic. Like, it's a sugar filled thing.
I tasted it and it's just like when I first took a sip of it, I was like, nobody in their right mind should be drinking 45% cherry liqueur.
No.
Just no. But apparently people do. So that was the cherry liqueur that I got. Anyway, so that went into the shaker, stirred it, used a healthy wedge of lime, squirted that in, stirred a little bit more, strained it into the glass. And it is so freaking, it's so tasty. I wish like it had a little bit more cherry flavor to it. Yeah. The cherry is subtle. The Baron Jaeger kind of overpowers this a little bit. But all in all, it's actually a very clean, really good tasting. It's kind of a fruity martini. But well, anytime obviously. you're making like a cocktail martini, it's going to be fruity.
Anytime you're putting anything with like a liqueur inside of a martini, you're trying something a little different. What did you decide to go with there, Luke, for your drink of choice?
I went with the Hot Honey Crisp.
Hot Honey Crisp. So that's, I saw, was that the one, what did it have? There was some ingredient in it. Was that the cider one?
Yeah, which it really should be not called Hot Honey Crisp, but more like Kick You in the Face Cider of Deliciousness or something.
You in the Face Cider of Deliciousness.
Yes.
So that sounds pretty good, I think, right? I mean,
yeah.
You're getting kicked in the face by said cider, which yep. I'm guessing is a good thing. Wait, is it like does it get a lot of potency to it, or is it just like what makes it so special?
What makes it so special is that it tastes more or less exactly like apple cider, except you can feel yourself getting warm, not just because it's a warm drink, but also because of the alcohol.
Sweet. Literally. So now I got my two drinks. Okay, so this is the Honey Nut Cheerio. And then I've got over here the Bee Breeze. That's what I'm drinking now. So that one's got, I think we got some pineapple juice, some Baron Jaeger, some cranberry juice. So, well, let me just go through the Bee Breeze because this is super good and it's almost gone. It would only be in my best interest to tell you what it tastes like before I finished it.
Right.
1 ounce of Baron Jaeger, 1 ounce of Chambord, a dash of pineapple juice filled with cranberry juice. First off, cranberry juice filling something is typically not my favorite style because cranberry juice to me has just got a little bit of bite and a dry finish. I'm not always huge on that. But in this drink, that dry finish comes right up the face with fucking Baron Jaeger. Like, you're just getting this sweet honey flavor, and you feel like it should be dry because you're kind of feeling that cranberry juice tapering off, and then it's like right in the face with some more Baron Jaeger. It's just all right there. Nice color. It's got the purple color from the Chambord, which kicks right through, and the dash of pineapple juice. I just keep dashing a little bit extra because pineapple juice is super good. Mm-hmm. And the presentation-wise, depending on how you build it, if you build it in the glass, it almost layers itself, and it goes from like a yellow down to a darker red, which is pretty sexy. But I don't think it really doesn't do justice to the drinks because Baron Jaeger falls to the bottom because it's just so sugary. So you'll be drinking, and it's like, oh, pineapple juice and cranberry. Then all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, right in your face. You're just getting like this crazy honey taste. Super sweet, but you know what it tastes like to me? And it just happened to, again, and I noticed in my notes when I was writing this down, totally like a Jolly Rancher. Like that sticky, sweet Jolly Rancher, like a grape / cherry. Like if you cut a Jolly Rancher grape and a Jolly Rancher cherry in half, and then you like licked both sides and let it harden together as one new Jolly Rancher, almost like Voltron, I think that's, and then you sucked on that for a little bit. That is what this tastes like.
That actually sounds really, really, really good.
I almost feel like I should have to be peeling that Jolly Rancher stickiness off of my molars right now, but I don't. That's how awesome it is. Because you like, don't have to do that.
Every possible world.
Yeah. So the Bee Breeze, and I believe this might have been on the bottle of the Baron Jaeger bottle when I had it. Like they put, you know how sometimes they put those couple recipes on the neck?
Yep.
On the little flag thing that hangs out. I think I got it from there.
Oh, nice.
But it's definitely a nice, rich Jolly Rancher-like cocktail if that's what you're into.
And actually, that's a good point. When I made the Cherry Lime Ricky, I didn't say anything about the actual color of it because everything else was pretty much spirit, save the liqueur, but the liqueur was clear. Everything was clear. It had like a nice yellowish tint
like,
to it.
Like the Baron Jaeger color?
Yep.
Now, Luke, what color was yours, which was a little bit more higher on the alcohol for your face?
Mine is, I mean, it looks really just like some cider, except a little bit lighter than that. So it's a nice little golden color.
So yours is more like for, yours fits the season right now.
Oh, yeah.
So you can have these for Thanksgiving instead of turkey.
Yep.
Or both, but you won't get as sloppy.
Except the recipe calls for 2.5 cups of warm water, and so this is a big drink.
Yeah, that does. It's definitely not a martini style drink right there, where yep. I think the Bay Breeze fits better on a lowball glass unless you double it because it's only 2 ounces plus, you know, fill with cranberry juice. If you make a big glass, you're going to have a lot of cranberry juice. If you put it in a lowball, you know, keep it sane or at least double the ingredients. If you're doing double Baron and Chambord, just do 2 ounces of each or something like that, where the Honey Nut Cheerio cocktail is still another lower, like a lowball drink. It's not, a half ounce of 3 alcohols, your Baron, your Hazel, and your Irish cream, and then milk to taste. So you're not getting a lot out of that. Maybe right. That fits into a martini. Well, it would fit into a martini glass pretty well. Or, of course, a cereal bowl, which would be as ghetto as possible. Maybe I should do that on Common Man Cocktails. Just get a cereal bowl.
I think you should. Like and you should use one of your kids' cereal bowls, like one with like Dora the Explorer on it. Okay, so can I do my layered shot now?
Yeah, what's that all about?
Okay, so it's a layered shot. It's called a DOA.
Oh, yes.
I would imagine that's dead on arrival.
Yeah,
so
I've done this cocktail, I think, on the show.
And it floats beautifully. It's great. It has great separation. So it's Baron Jaeger, Rumpelmintz, Jägermeister.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And here we go.
I could tell you what my show notes here say, but
Rumpelmintz just takes over everything.
You got the takeover?
Yep. It's all Rumpelmintz.
Really?
A little bit of the Baron at the very end. It's very sweet.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, mine, I had said that it has a mingling Jägermeister aftertaste, but with a little hint of honey. But it's not. It's a. I don't know when I did this show. Yeah, I had. It was 3/4 of an ounce of each.
Yeah, it called for equal parts.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I did. I don't remember what mine actually looked like. Did it layer good? I can't remember.
Yeah, it layered beautiful. I didn't even use a spoon. I did the slow pour down the side.
Oh, really?
And it was a really nice, clean layer.
That makes sense, I guess, because Baron Jaeger might as well be grenadine at that point. So it looks like I recorded that January, for March, April, May of 2011. So that was this year. And that I think, was that one of the ones, was that on the bottle? I can't even remember. Or did you just find that? Oh, was that the one you turned around and you saw me on the website?
Yeah, exactly. So I was on the website, and so I was copying the recipe, and then like I went back to the website, and I was like, Derek?
That happens.
And there you were, you know, making a layered shot.
Somebody who came up to Brianna at school, third grade, and it's like, my daddy watches you on the computer, or watches your daddy on the computer. She's like, really? Like, that's pretty weird. She's like, does your dad have a video show? She's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, my dad watches it. Like, that's random.
That is totally random.
Yeah. So
that's how you know you've made it.
Exactly. When random people are finding that shit. I mean, for Doug to see it on a drinking website, that was surprising to me at first, but it's happened a lot because a lot of people adopt a lot of the cocktail content because you can't get it anywhere else. So it's like, oh, how-to video. It doesn't even have to be the same freaking thing. They just want a video with cocktails on it. So they jack it and throw it up there, which is fine. They want to freaking cross-promote me. Fine. That was a big website, too, so they have a lot of crap out there. Now, my other drink. Do you have any other drinks, Luke?
Nope, just the one.
and you're just sucking that thing back. Now,
Oh God, it's so big.
I was. That's a sound.
So it's
bite.
Taking me a while to take it all down.
Oh man,
bit by bit.
It's only get up to the tip. So the when I was looking at that, is it hot cider? Because I was thinking.
Oh yeah.
I have the DeCoopers, is that what it is, for the K-Cups?
Still don't know how to pronounce that properly.
No, because it's German. And so, no, wait, I'm thinking of the wrong thing. No, what's the K-Cup thing, the coffee maker there? It starts with a K. Keurig. Keurig, yeah. So the Keurig, I have the Keurig, and we have hot cider, so that you just throw the K-Cup in there, hit go, and it makes hot cider. And so I was thinking maybe that would work for it. I didn't do it. But it may have worked. I don't know why I didn't do it.
Both hands, son, to hold this. It's so big.
Well, I got a small one over here. I got the honey nut Cheerio.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I set myself up for that. Now here's the problem. Okay, Baronier, hazelnut, Irish cream, a little bit of milk. The problem is I'm not a big fan of honey nut Cheerios, so I don't know what drinking the milk at the end of the cereal would taste like. Because I don't like the cereal. See, there's that conundrum there. But yeah. I can guarantee you the cereal doesn't numb your tongue like this does.
It's true.
So, and that sometimes it comes down to the Irish cream that I'll do that, maybe the hazelnut. Because the Baron Jaeger in the Bee Breeze doesn't have, it has a little more sweetness to it. So you're getting that nice sweet kind of playing off the dry. This, you're getting more of the milk and creaminess, and I think it loses some of the honey, just because it's the honey is should strike through. But when you got a lot of cream in there, like, you know, you're putting it all down over there. There's it's tasty. It's like a sweet Irish cream style drink with a little hint of hazelnut, which is kind of nice because hazelnut in small quantities I like. Not a big fan of hazelnut coffee. It's just too much hazelnut. That much nut in your mouth is just too much for me. But from the standpoint of a night, now, have you ever had, any of you guys had Cool Swan Irish cream? Doug, you might have had some when you were here, right?
I believe so. That, you had me taste a number of things because they were the best
right.
ever.
So this,
oh really?
Yeah, if you've never had this, it's Cool Swan. It's Coole Swan, and it's an Irish cream liqueur that has a little bit
actually,
of cocoa.
You did have me try that. I remember that.
I bought a couple bottles of it. They just recently got it into the New Hampshire liquor store, so now I'm all over this. But it's got a little bit of cocoa, kind of like a chocolate bean, I don't know, like built in, if you will, into the Irish cream. Because the trick with Irish cream, for those that have never heard, is that it's not just cream with whiskey in it, like an Irish whiskey or anything. It's weaved into it's made basically in a way where the cream and the whiskey don't separate. Because if you just take cream and whiskey, you put them together and it looks like an Irish cream, then you leave it sit for 12 minutes, 13 minutes, 14 minutes, you watch the clock, you'll see them start to separate and things get weird. Where this never happens. On top of which, they took it to the next level by not only weaving the cream, it has something to do with how you compress it through like small copper tubes or something. And they've weaved in there a little bit of chocolate. So you're getting the Irish cream without any burn really, and just a mild hint of chocolate. So you bring that into this honey deal with a little bit of hazelnut and milk to taste. I did one ounce of milk. I can put a little more in there, see if it tastes different. Let's see. I'll just taste it with a nice pour. But so far, I mean, it's a good drink. It's just, I don't know. When I think Honey Nut Cheerio, I think something that's not as tasty as this. It's not as, you know, that's not as sweet. I think it actually gets a little sweeter when you put more milk into it. It kind of settles down that Irish cream. But when you want something sweet, you go for the Bee Breeze, dude, because that's like Jolly Rancher all up in the hizzy.
That by far has been, of the night of the drinks, the one that has been the best sold. Like, I totally want to have that.
I mean, it's not hard either. Do you have Chambord or raspberry?
Not on my person at the moment, no.
If you have a raspberry liqueur, you're almost all the way there, because all you need is cranberry juice and pineapple juice. It's not like...
Well, the thing is, though, like, if we had had this conversation, I don't know, maybe 2 hours ago, I could have done something about the raspberry liqueur.
Well, yeah, probably. You'd have to run around for it. But I didn't really know. I saw the recipes, and I didn't know who was doing what, because we kind of had that mass confusion near the end where we weren't even sure who was showing up. So yeah. I just popped these out because I was like, I don't want anything that gets too crazy. And that might have been what the problem was with the apple. It's just because I'm recording, or the cider, I'm recording on the third floor, so I have to carry all this shit up. So my goal was to get something that had more core ingredients and less. I didn't want any lemons or limes, because they had to squeeze them and do all that bullshit. I just wanted a nice, easy drink. And it really doesn't get any easier than Baron Jaeger, Chambord, and some juice.
Sure does.
Baron Jaeger?
Shot, yeah.
Well, let's do one then.
I mean, it seemed obvious to me.
So. I'm gonna shoot some
Baron. Oh, are we doing a shot of Baron Jaeger?
I'm gonna do it right out of a measuring glass. Yeah.
Actually, give me 1 second, because I did the Killer Bee. I layered Jägermeister on the Baron Jaeger.
Right.
Again, a very, very clean layer.
How much Jägermeister do you get though? Because I know a lot of people who don't care for that. So having a little bit's okay, but too much Jaeger turns some people off.
Yeah, by itself, I don't really like it all that much, but see, mixed in with other things, it's pretty good. Like, especially if it's just the Jaeger and Rumplemintz. Oh, that's good.
Rumplemintz. But Doug has it right. When you bring Rumplemintz into the situation, which at least you're keeping it in the country, so you got two German things, you're still getting so much. Unless you can tone it down with less mint, it destroys so many cocktails because people don't mix it correctly.
No, it does. And actually, to clarify, when I made the DOA, I actually, as far as proportion, I probably had just about over a third Baron Jaeger, maybe less than a third of the Rumplemintz. Like, the Rumplemintz was very little in the actual shot. And then maybe just a little bit more of the Jägermeister than I had of the Rumplemintz. So I tried to tone it down on the Rumplemintz, and then it ended up just being all Rumplemintz anyway.
When you do like a five ounce cocktail, I usually would only use like a half ounce of any, like a peppermint or mint schnapps or whatever, just because you're going to get enough of it without making it all about that, unless that's the goal. You know, maybe if it was a holiday Christmas deal, but in that case, it's like you can use so much less of other ingredients when you're using so much schnapps, because you're destroying all the rest of it anyway. It'd be like using a shot of bourbon in a, 32-ounce pitcher of beer. Really, it's not going to make that much of a difference. Not that I would dissuade anybody from doing such a thing, but Baron Jaeger itself has got a little bit of an alcohol smell to it, though. Like, if you just breathe it in, you get that sweet, but then you get that alcohol like runoff up your nasal passages. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that, but because it doesn't matter when you get that much sweet going on. Once you taste it, it's gonna all just freaking dissipate. I bet you could make 100-proof Baron Jaeger. That would be some kick-ass.
No, you definitely could.
And it would, because you get that sheer amount of sweet can help kill off any of the disbalance of having the alcohol. Like, if you did 151 on top of a Baron Jaeger shot, which should float okay, I think, because Baron Jaeger is very heavy. I'm thinking, I don't know what the absolute or relative, I think it's absolute gravity, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know what the absolute gravity of Baron Jaeger is, but I bet you it's like 1.something. Absolute gravity of Baron Jaeger. Let's see. It's specific gravity. Specific.
Just looking around for Baron Jaeger recipes. There, I stumbled upon a Baron Jaeger do-it-yourself recipe where it's vodka, allspice, cinnamon, like a cinnamon stick, and honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently you can...
That sounds like spice rum.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you want to go 100 proof...
Just make up your own?
Yeah, just go ahead and get your neutral spirit 100 proof... whatever it is that you want to use, and then it's 12 ounces of honey, a cinnamon stick, and X amount of, I want to say it was clover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I searched for specific gravity of Baron Jaeger, and all I get is like an iTunes podcast of everyday drinkers calling man cocktails, and I don't even know what it just says, today we're talking about some Baron Jaeger, 3/4 ounce Jägermeister, ... So I don't know what the hell was in there, but maybe it was the same, the DOA. So I can't find a good specific gravity chart of Baron Jaeger, but I'm guessing it's pretty heavy. So you could probably layer a lot of shit on top of that. But it's still got a lot of alcohol in it, too. So do you got any straight Baron over there yet, Doug?
Actually, I still have the Killer Bee, so I'll do this real quick, and I'll tell you how much Jaeger and how much Baron I get. My guess is it's going to be mostly the Baron, but we'll see.
Hey, Luke, have you tried this stuff straight?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I should.
You should try that.
A shot, and we can all do a nice little shot.
Yeah.
I'll
grab that.
All Jägermeister.
All Jägermeister. Oh, that's
all Jägermeister with a bit of the honey at the end.
So
not expected.
For Jäger fans, then.
Yeah, definitely for Jäger fans.
It's going the wrong direction for the. I mean, I don't know if there's specifically Baron Jäger fans besides Doug. Like,
right.
There are very few people that know about this. Needless to say, Baron Fang, right, or Baron Fang, but I don't know. If you look at all the recipes you can find, just traditional recipes to crazy ass recipes you might find, or like
very few
deep sea diver, none of them have Baron Jäger in them. And I've worked with it more than probably most have. And I think it's kind of doing a disservice to the liquid because there's so much potential for adding a honey liqueur to a cocktail. And Baron Jäger, you know, it won an award at San Francisco World Spirits Competition, wine enthusiast. It got like a gold medal in 2011. So
it's really good.
I think that means it's kick ass. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like saying if you build a product that is super sweet and that's kind of its purpose, can it not win a gold medal? I mean, how you have to really fuck something up if you're saying, well, this is just like. It'd be like bringing a cake and going, look, this is cake. Holy shit, I love cake. Right? All right, you win. Because it's almost, you'd really have to fuck it up. It'd have to taste like nothing like honey. Do you have a shot now there, Luke?
Yes.
I'm gonna suck this down.
I'm ready.
All right.
Are we doing this?
Yeah, we're doing it.
1, 2, 3,
kung pai. Kung pai. Do it.
All right, kung pai.
Oh, is that not a lot of fucking alcohol?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
See, that is potent. There's no amount of honey that's going to make you not get that burning alcohol-like sensation. To me, Baron Jäger is as close to what Doug was describing, a high-proof, neutral-based spirit with a little bit of honey.
I would disagree on the little bit.
Okay, it's got honey, but you cannot hide that ethanol. It cuts through.
You're right. It does cut through. But I think the interesting thing about when it hits your tongue and when it courses over it, like ethanol ends up hitting the back of your tongue a lot sooner than the rest of it. And then you have like this really interesting, nice honey flavor coating that goes along the rest of the tongue.
Right, right. Yeah, there's definitely a roller coaster at the end.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and you know what? I'm thinking that a lot of that impression that burning like alcohol ethanol you're getting is actually your nasal passages, just because that those fumes and everything are rising up where that nice sweet coating lands on your tongue, it separates. And I think your brain is just like, whoa, what the hell just happened to my face? And it's sitting back and going, okay, that burns. And then it's like, you know, I don't know, it's got a nice finish there. It's a little sweet honey. Like I still get the honey finish. Like it's still, it feels like I just licked, you know, a bowl of honey.
Yeah.
Because it's just got that taste to it. But, I mean, that initial impression is, holy shit, there is some alcohol in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually the wonderful thing about doing shots of Baron Jäger, at least wonderful thing, like, right, when you do shots of shit, is there's so much sugar in it that it has, like, that really hyper sugary, you know, you end up like on a sugar buzz. You're like really hyper and you're like, yeah. And then you're like, you have the alcohol thing. So it's like the perfect combination of
headache.
Really? No, it's well, eventually, but it's a really good combination of really hyper, really excited, really drunk, really hyper drunk, you know, which is
dangerous.
Which always spells a good time for all.
That means at least 50% of the attendees are going to be missing their pants.
Yeah, it's
streaking the quad.
It's right. And I've actually done something of that effect on Baron Jäger. Like, see? I remember the first time that I had Baron Jäger, which was a number of years ago. I ended up having like two or three or so shots of it, and then like I ended up in my skivvies scaling a wall.
See, that's nice. That could be dangerous. but it is a little less potent than if you did three or four shots of vodka. But we're arguing here 5% alcohol by volume. It doesn't really, I mean, at that point, it's not going to make that much of a
difference. The nice thing is, though, you have the sugar high on it, and at the same time, you have, it tastes good.
Right. It's not the shot where you're only doing it because you have to prove that you're a man in the room. Right, and there's only two options. It's like you're either going to do this weird ass shot of like some rye or something, or a little bit of, I don't know what else you do shots of that would be more manly. Let's say you wouldn't shoot scotch. All I can think of is vodka or something straight, neutral spirit type. You know,
tequila.
That's a good one. And worse yet, Jose Cuervo, which isn't even really tequila, but close. Like any of that stuff, you're trying to prove your manhood, and the only other way to do it would be to literally flop your junk out on the table and go, look, I've got a large cock, right? So the other option...
Both are a normal weekend evening for me.
Thanks, Dave.
So, yeah, this is a perfect Dave quote right there. So you've got that option too. So, but... I don't even know where to go with that. So, but the end result is, for most people,
you can go. You have to join in,
right? Everybody flips out their cock. It's like, hey guys, do you want to have? Let's do a round of shots. How about instead of that, we all show our cocks? Oh, okay. That's the next best thing. Or because think about it. At the end of the night, if everybody shows their cock four times, you can drive home sober. Right. If you do that four shots of vodka, tequila, you might not be doing that. Nobody ever got a headache from flopping out their dick. Right. It's just
well, I don't know. Depends on how you slap it.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody could get hurt. But yeah. In general, you know, generally speaking, let's see what else we got here. I don't have anything else to say.
I'm pretty sure that we covered the spectrum of. What is the Baron Jaeger?
And at some point in the 5 minutes we're on topic.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. So, when you're talking about Baron Jaeger, sometimes you just got to go into the good time stories. Because that's where you go down that path.
It's one of those things, you know, when it's three people, you're very limited to, all right, we've gone through our drinks, whereas if it was like the four or five that we normally have,
right,
you know, there's more
and a lot more side stories,
a lot
more everything. And so, lastly, what I did is I figure since I could speak German, I'd go find their German website and see what they said about like their product in German. But they don't have a German website. Like it's BaronJaegerHoney.com, and I tried. Sometimes the sites have like little flags at the bottom. You can flip the language. Didn't work. I put .de on the end. It didn't find a server. I went to Google.de and I started hunting around for Baron Fong and just the company that owns it. And there's no websites. Three pages into the results, they don't have a homepage in German.
Are they embarrassed of their own product?
I can't imagine why. But, I mean, they had nothing. So I found that a little weird. And there's no place on the bottle. It's just, to be served cold. It tastes better. That's what it says. To be served cold. It tastes better. Why would you say that?
No. Actually, and that's the thing. It doesn't necessarily, I mean.
It hides the alcohol.
But we've had that conversation so many times on this show.
Yeah.
When you refrigerate or you put your alcohol in the freezer, all you're doing is masking the taste of the ethanol.
Right.
That's all you're doing.
But in this case, you do that, it's going to get thicker, and it's going to probably taste a lot sweeter.
It does.
See, so there you go. And if you want to try this out, I'd go out to Amazon or whatever and get some frozen shot glasses, like the ones that you are literally made of ice. Throw them in the freezer, get your little ice shot glasses out, line up like six or seven ice glasses, pour the Baron in them all. This is, of course, if you have a party, you don't want to do this at home by yourself because you will black out. But, you know, just let them chill up. And
maybe you don't.
Right, true. Just you don't want to always use the same glass twice because it melts through the bottom and it'll start to leak. Pro tip for you. Not that I've done that on a show or anything, but it can happen. So,
I say with the Jägermeister, one of the my favorite things about the bottle and the label At the very top, it has this very green, just straight green bar at the top, and it says imported.
Yes, I know. What's that all about?
Like, really? Like, if somebody reads Jägermeister, like, oh man, that was made
in California. Where name is?
Or in Iowa.
You know, and I can understand it.
Imports.
Well, I mean, there's no difference between that and the Baron Jaeger one. The Baron Jaeger one at the top says Deutsches Erzeugnis, which means German manufacturer, German product. But it's not import, so it sounds more like it comes from Germany because it actually says it in German. So that's cooler.
Yeah.
Tuk, and Koenig Baron von Fabrik.
I'll give you a tip. If it's got a,
Great for phonetics.
If it has it, see how it is. Is it T E? Oh, is it T E?
It's T E U C K E.
Yeah. So Teuk and Koenig.
Teuk and Koenig.
Koenig. Because the O E means
Koenig.
The O with the E next to it is actually an English way of putting an umlaut. It really means O with the double dots over it.
Tunic.
Teuka.
Say it again.
That would be Teuk and Koenig.
Teukig in Koenig.
Yeah, or Un.
Baron von Fabrik.
Baron von Fabrik, manufactured, Baron Jaeger manufactured in Steinhagen, Germany. And GmbH is another way of saying LLC. So there you go. You've got all that you ever need to know about the German product. And Koenig, by the way, means king, but that's just somebody's name. So,
everyday drinkers, teaching you how to drink, teaching you
German. To speak German.
There you go. That's what we do here. So, at the end of the day, what we have is Baron Jaeger Honey Liqueur. If you don't know what it is, you now do, and we urge you to go out and get it if you can find it. If you happen to be like Kate, and now Kate's screwed no matter what because she can't even go onto the web and buy it because you can't ship into Massachusetts. It's like fucking communists there. You know, so...
No, that's actually capitalism. Good luck.
All right, so that's capitalism. So if you can go out and buy it, you can usually get them in different sizes. At least the one that Sydney Frank sent me was a little smaller. Same bottle design and everything, but give it a try. What you're going to find is it's a safety alcohol. It's like where you buy this, I guarantee you, unless you have an allergic reaction to honey or hate honey, I guarantee you're going to find some way to use this, even if it's to add it to your coffee.
So
cider,
good.
Anything where you think you can bring in a honey to a cocktail, any of that type of stuff, definitely will play in there. So it's not a you can't lose.
No, it's so fucking good. It's so good.
Unless you break out.
It is quite good.
It's so good.
And you probably aren't going to use it every day.
I need a post-op on the pouring it on pizza.
Yeah, that's weird.
The honey.
Yeah. You probably put Baron Jaeger.
Baron Jaeger. I want to hear about frozen Baron Jaeger on pizza.
You, Doug, it's 35% ABV. You know, you need to be at like minus 140 degrees Fahrenheit to freeze this.
I got that.
I got so liquid nitrogen too.
Or I would freezers. That's pretty standard.
Because you're in Idaho?
Iowa.
Iowa.
Yes. Good old Idaho, Iowa.
Yeah. You got to try some Glacier vodka. It's made with potatoes.
The great state of Idaho, Iowa.
Yep. Glacier vodka is a potato vodka from the United States. You can give that a try.
Anyway,
I would like to tell you guys, this is Derek for Doug, for Luke. You've just been buzzed by Everyday Drinkers. You got honey. It's going to be awesome. You can find us at everydaydrinkers.com or everydaydrinkers.tv if you'd like to see some more on the Baron Jaeger honey liqueur from Teuka and Koenig.
I can get anything that I want whenever I just randomly stroll into Hy-Vee because I've always been able to. And it worked tonight again.
Well, I guess that's good, unless you're looking for like a blowjob or something.
No, I found one there too.
Oh. That's good.
Thanks.
It's like, I'm going to have Baron Jaeger, Jägermeister, Grenadine, and a blowjob, please. That'll be good. Thank you.
I'm not asking the cashiers though, because they're no.
Too much Grenadine for them?
Too much granny for me.
Oh, so they're not sucking on the high fructose. They're just older.
I mean, granted, the whole lack of teeth kind of thing.
I was going to say, they can pop those fuckers out, right?
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Hold that up, you Johnson. Wow, I'm grossing myself out
this
here.
This is why we can't record podcasts.
Yeah, and I've been recording.
We shouldn't. For like we have the technology. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why you shouldn't put people like us behind the helm.
Yeah, if you want me to write
it. Whoa, holy fuck. Hold on a minute. My browser just started up. And it decided to play a sound, and I almost pooped myself. Wow. Like, when Safari starts for the first time since I wiped the preferences, it decided to go, wah! Now I'm sitting here reading a bottle, and it just, like, fucking almost shit me in the head.
All right.
What?
Doug knows how Dora goes.
Oh, I know exactly how she goes.
I have a funny story for you. Did you ever watch Doug do the last five or the Comic Cocktails episodes?
I saw the first one that you had pointed out, but I hadn't seen any of the other ones after that.
They go downhill. It's awesome.
They do go downhill.
As you would expect.
And the funny thing was our cousin, would that be your stepsister? Our cousin stepsister Lori said, "Oh, I saw Doug on the show," and yeah, my kids aren't watching those episodes because they sometimes watch the show because I'm on there. But I mean, I think Doug introed it with a F-bomb at some point.
So
we set the tone right there. And so later in the night, Doug decided you were drinking a lot even before the show. So,
well, I mean, to be fair about like the context of leading up to the show.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, it started with like family party where like I drank a 6-pack of Stella. Right. So that happened. And then we went back to your place and, you know, we hung out.
You know, don't forget the shots of tequila.
Well, hold on. So we hit the trampoline. So by the time, you know, we made it into the house and everything, like I was fairly sober. And then I was like, oh, I need to get prepped for the show. And so that's when like I had a couple beers and like 3 shots of tequila.
Right.
Because that's how you prep, right?
Like you do.
I pregame.
Pregame for the drinking game.
I pregame for the show. And then we got up there, and I was like, oh, I'm a little bit tipsy. And then we started drinking the drinks, and then like you had 50,000 bottles of everything around me. I was like, I want to try all the liquor.
Right. He had a little bubblegum vodka here. He had... I think you went through, you know, some flavored other things and anything that had a pretty picture on it. So there was a substantial in between show drinking.
I was, yeah. And so by the end, like, and I'm watching the episodes and I'm like, I was really drunk because it kind of takes a lot for me to get really drunk. And I had a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, it got worse. So do you want to tell them about the temporary tattoo?
So my wife at some point, I don't know how it came up, but she's like,
I heard about this story.
She's like, you should really, I don't know what she was thinking, but she's like, you should get one of those temporary tattoos and put it on your dick. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. So he went, he gets this temporary tattoo. And it was, I picked Dora the Explorer, and so he took the Dora tattoo, and he goes into the bathroom, and now, mind you, he's already fucking destroyed 3 hangover patches that I had, because he doesn't know how to put them on, because he can't even open the box. So obviously, hangover patches, they go on before the drinking begins, thus you can understand what the hell you were really supposed to be doing. So he's got 3 rolled up hangover patches. He's got one on the back of his forearm that happens to be sticking by accident. He goes to the bathroom and he's like, I'm holding my cock and it's not sticking. I'm like, did you put water on it? Silence. He goes out, I don't understand what's wrong. He's like, I've been holding myself and it's not sticking. I'm like, did you take the plastic thing off the front of the temporary tattoo? What? That you got to take off that part. Oh, okay. So he takes that off. I'm like, oh, you still need to wet the back so that it's moist and it sticks. He's like, all right. So now
he will wet it. He will moisten it, and he will stick it.
But instead, this time, he just drops trow in the kitchen and uses the sink to get some water. And now he's
leaning, I remember that part.
He's leaning up against the oven, and he's just, but his hands are down there, and you can see, like, he's just holding on tight. And then, you know, I'm like, all right, 30 seconds, whatever. And then it goes by, and he takes it off. He's like, holy fuck, it worked. I'm like, well, yeah, it's not rocket science. This is for kids to do. You know, it's not how many drunk guys does it take to put a temporary tattoo on their cock? So, of course, he has to show it off and prove that it worked, which it did. And then, so, I don't know. It didn't get any better. From there, all I know is by the time I was bringing him back to his house, he was doing handstands in my convertible. Which, if you think about it, that's quite a challenge. Like, literally,
and
his feet.
I remember that, too.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Complete handstands in the convertible.
Also, I'm like, a challenge.
I'm like, you need to kind of put your feet down, because if a cop comes by and he sees some dude's shoes, like, you know, up in the air, that's going to be weird. But he made it home alive, I think, and woke
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so you drop me off. I'm at my parents' house. I guess I made it in, and I made it to the room, and, like, I promptly just passed out on my back with a light on. I wake up the next day. I stumble my way down to the kitchen, and my mom's down there, and she's like, hi, and I was like, hey, and she's like, how are you feeling? I was like, I feel, you know, whatever.
And you should be, like, dead, but
yeah, so yeah. You got in last night, and you didn't turn off the light, and your dad got up and told me that the light was still on, and so I knocked on the door and you didn't respond. So I, you know, I went in there and I turned off the light and, you know, I pulled the cover over you and I was like, oh, that was really nice. And I was like, wait a second. Was I naked? And she was like, no, you weren't naked. And I was like, good, because it would have been really awkward to explain the door of the Explorer tattoo, temporary tattoo on my penis. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah.
Well, you said this, you weren't thinking this?
What?
You said this, you weren't actually just thinking it? You actually?
No, of course I said that to my mom. And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, good, because it would have been like, hola. Oh, God.
So
yeah,
you found
that
it.
That was fun. That was a good night.
Yeah. So you actually remembered you did that, though.
No, I did. Well, I don't remember the part about, like, trying to do it in the bathroom, but I remember the part about, like, oh, it needs to have hot water. It needs to be pressed on for 30 seconds.
Oh.
And I remember being in your kitchen when that happened.
When the deed was done. Yeah. So that
oh,
way,
Jesus.
The end result is it doesn't always take Baron Jaeger to have a good time, but you, I mean, maybe we did some Baron Jaeger. No, I don't remember. No. But I have a hard time believing here's the thing with, if you brought out, and I've seen this done, I went to a Halloween party Halloween time. And, a month ago or so, and there was a lot of drinking, which, by the way, funny story. And maybe this has happened to other people, but for me, I don't get out to a lot of these weird parties much. And it was my neighbors having this party. It was like 20 people, 22 people. Everybody brings their wife or whatnot. But man, first off, everybody that's a woman on Halloween has to wear slutty ass clothes, because that's the only thing they sell, right? So everybody's got their slutty clothes on, and they get here and you've got, you know, chicks dressed up like nurses and nerds and all this stuff, but they're all kind of hot, and you're like, this is weird. This is surreal, because they all have like at least two kids, right? They're all people that we know because our kids hang out or whatnot. Holy shit, do they get slutty after some drinks. Like, two chicks are just, I mean, the pictures on Facebook are just mind-boggling. Like, they're holding each other's tits, or they're pouring chocolate syrup on their tits, and then their husband's licking them off. And some of the pictures ended up getting pulled down by some of the people who were asked for them to be removed, but everybody knew, right? It was, the pictures
oh,
were being
shit.
Taken.
I'm sober now.
But most of them, like a couple of the women that were there, I'm like, you know, this is no doubt going to be on Facebook tomorrow. She's like, that's okay. I know how the untag works. I just untag it. As long as I'm not tagged, my mother won't see it. But these are adults, right? And so it's pretty hilarious to watch this all go down. And that's when I brought out the absinthe. I went through a bottle of scotch. half a bottle of absinthe. People were doing absinthe shots, right?
Wait, they were doing absinthe shots?
Yeah. It's not really wise to do such a thing, but
at
this point in the night, I walked home and got this knowing this is going to get all crazy.
Wait, so what kind of scotch did you go through?
Let's see. I went through Highland Park, and which is a 15-year.
Good.
And Dalwhinnie.
You killed a 15-year-old Highland.
And Dalwhinnie, the rest of my Dalwhinnie. So
you killed the Dalwhinnie?
Yeah, well, I'll just buy another one.
Oh, that's so sad.
Just buy another one.
There's more of them. It's not like the only one. I didn't buy any special like models.
Killed the last one.
Yeah. So we went through that, and then I went home to get the absinthe because I figured no one's gonna kill that off. Well, then first off, the scotch me and my neighbor drinking. He's never had scotch before, and it was his turn. He's like, you know what? I feel like I should be a scotch drinker. I'm like, well, here you go. They'll show you how to do it. So I gave him scotch, and after three or four of those, he's like, okay, I think I'm a scotch drinker now. I'm like, okay, now you're going to become an absinthe drinker. He's like, oh, fuck, what's that? So we brought out the absinthe. And
he said, oh, fuck, what's that?
Yeah. So not a lot of people, and then there's the people going, ooh, that sounds illegal, right? So you bring it over. And I made the drinks properly for a few people. And then his buddy came over. It was one of those guys that comes late. He's like, I got to catch up. Right. Really bad idea. So he had like two shots of that, a couple beers. And it's just crazy. So they were doing shots of absinthe. And the end result, of course, is a slow but trickling drunkenness. Because that's how absinthe kind of works. It's like 100 and something proof. It was pretty funny to watch. But the end result is this. If you bring out absinthe, people are like, holy shit, you're hardcore. If you bring out, I don't know, shots of like a whiskey, people go, okay, you're pretty hardcore. Nobody ever brings out like schnapps. But there was one guy at the party, and all night he was just, he had his McGillicuddy vanilla schnapps. And he's drinking it like a fucking man. One ice cube. Straight up, straight on the rocks, a little ice cube, and he's just sipping schnapps. I've never seen anybody do this before. Not a man.
Yeah,
it was kind of funny.
Never sipping schnapps.
No, it's kind of weird, and I find it to be the same way as if you come out and you're going to say we're going to do Baron Jaeger shots. If people know what you're doing, they're going to be like, why? Why are you doing that? You're just shooting honey liqueur. That's kind of silly. You know, you want to go with the hard stuff.
No, and that's
Jack Daniels. Bring out the Jack Daniels. JD shots all around.
No. And that's the secret. Fuck you up about the Baron Jaeger because
it's a secret.
Don't expect it,
right? Everybody's like, that's the most pussy thing ever, and all of a sudden they're all on the floor drooling, or your wife and this other girl's wife are eating each other
like
around
on the dance
floor
going, I don't remember the last time I've had this much fun dancing.
Like, because you never dance. Oh, and again, at this party, there was somebody brought out the trampoline. They're like, okay, we're going to play flip cup. And if you lose, you get to dance on the trampoline. So we're trying to make the women lose so they'd have to dance on the trampoline.
Of course.
And like, okay, boss. And of course, one girl, she just refused to do it. She had like the biggest, chest anywhere. And she's like, I don't want anything falling out or whatever. Like, get on the trampoline. I'll go on with you. All right, we'll go together. It's just
I'll hold them down. You'll be fine.
It was some crazy ass shit. But that's things adults do when they start drinking. You think it was over in college, but it's not. They just do it once every 2 years.
Oh, no. It gets worse. Did I ever tell you, either of you, about the night that was dubbed Scotch Pilgrim?
No.
Scotch Pilgrim? Like, yes. Scotch Pilgrim?
Very similar. So a friend of mine from work has an apartment, and they have one of those little clubhouse areas that has a theater to it. So he invited a whole bunch of people from work over to watch Scott Pilgrim right after it came out. And a friend of mine brought a bottle of, it was mixed whiskey and not whiskey, scotch.
Blended.
It was a blend. Yeah. And so he said, here, you drink this. So I said, okay. And long story short, I drank half the bottle, and oh man.
Oh no.
Apparently I was really loud.
That can happen.
And people were reminding me of things that I did not remember.
What did you do?
Let's see. I become very good at math.
That's fucked up.
So my math got better.
Yeah, so at the end of the day,
I was solving
people,
differential equations
hey,
in like 2.5 minutes. It was awesome.
Yeah, I was asking everybody if they work tomorrow, and then Annie says, yeah, I work at noon. I said, oh my God, that's 2 hours after I work. And she says, wow, you're really good at math. I said, I know. And
so you can do math.
Andrew threw me over his shoulder, and he was walking around the place with me over his shoulder. And
so then,
and apparently I was pressuring one of the people there to drink some of my scotch. And when I was walking home, I thought I was on the sidewalk, but evidently I was in the middle of the street. And I sat on the back of my couch, and I decided to just throw myself over the back of the couch, and I hit my leg on the coffee table. Yeah. So the next morning, I stand up, and my leg hurts like a bitch. I got this huge bruise. And later on in the day, Mike says, yeah, and you fell over the back of the couch and hit your head. And, oh, that's where I hurt my leg.
That's, I mean, but in the end, you didn't wake up with Dora the Explorer on your cock. So you're actually, you did okay.
I thought so, too.
Especially with that many people around coming up. I mean, the first thing most people do when somebody gets drunk is you start coming up with ideas. Like, what can they do? Right? It's almost like you've got a doll. You're like, okay, what can this person do? Let's see. They could kiss that other guy. What? Yeah, they won't even notice. You know, or just, how about that guy jumps over that couch and then hurdles over here and then bounces off this other guy, and bad things start to happen. It's like a mosh pit opens up, but there's only one guy involved. Right? It just gets crazy. Now, women are more fun to watch because they start dancing and doing slutty things, and maybe it's just like the outfits. Maybe that's what does it.
Oh, probably.
Not that the guys don't help, because right when all the guys start to go, okay, so these chicks are totally drunk and they're kind of being crazy, then they're like, okay, this is what I want you to do. And it was hilarious. It's like he gets out this camera. He's like, okay, I'm going to be your publicist. What I need you to do is take the apple pie out of the oven over there, and you hold that spoon and spank her in the butt while she's doing it. And they're doing it, right? And she's taking pictures. Like, I'm just sitting there laughing. I'm going, this is hilarious, because I wasn't that drunk. I was just a little buzzed purposely, because you don't want to miss this shit. If you black out, you're missing it all. So
right.
You want to at least stand through and watch. And I was just like, I don't know how they're going to react in the morning. Now, one girl, like, her deal was, she started the night telling stories about how, like, fucked up she gets and all the crazy things that happen. So it was kind of, you saw where that was going to go, right? And anytime somebody's like, oh, I got drunk this one time, she's like, you rock.
She went to bed early.
And you know, she has this margarita that's, like, the size of, like, a femur. It's just this huge-ass margarita. And
the size of a femur.
I don't know where. Yeah, so
nice analogy. Okay,
do it again. And it was fucking huge. And she's drinking like Jose Cuervo like instant mix stuff. And I had to put down my cocktail hat for a minute and say, you know what, this is okay. I'm not gonna interfere. I had contemplated the thoughts of coming home, getting one of my good tequilas, and making a good drink for her. But I have a bad feeling things would have gotten worse.
Yeah.
Because it would have been so tasty that, you know, it would have gone down a lot faster. And then so she would have too. So I figured I'd just, you know, let bygones be bygones. But, you know, drinking can get yourself in some trouble.
Yes, she would have.
Yes, she would have.
Tesla Lance, please ignore.
What?
Just random shout out.
You know, I feel like the Baron-Yeager bottles should be changed to give it a more kid-friendly appeal. You know, have Winnie the Pooh in a biker jacket.
Exactly.
It's already pretty kid-looking. I mean, if a kid saw this, he'd be like, yeah, that's cool. It's like a little drawing with crayons. Man. Little bear. Nobody noticed. I don't even know what type of trap that is. Who sets up a trap with a log that's split in half with a string on it? Like, what's that going to do to the bear?
Germans apparently do that.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, that seems weird that the artist would be like, I know what to do.
I'm going to get this beehive. Oh, I stepped on a log and it rolled. Oh, no, I'm on my back.
And if you look at the picture, the beehive is a little too big for that shrub. That shrub would fall over.
Well, you want to make sure that the bear can see the beehive.
Oh, so it's a fake beehive.
Well, let's pretend.
Yeah, they actually really take the top off of the Baron-Yeager bottle and stick it up.
Where the hell did that hunter get that beehive?
From the top of his Baron-Yeager bottle.
He made it out of wood?
No. You just who's drinking, and you figure, hey, I need something to attract this bear. And
that's a pretty small beehive.
A beehive right here.
Well, if that's the case, yeah. Based on the size.
If you get him
size,
young, more juicy.
if you get on the size of this cap here that I have, that means that this hunter, who looks also like Robin Hood, has got to be like an inch tall. Less. You know, just saying. I mean,
it's all about perspective.
He's actually 70 feet back behind the bush. It's just the camera angle.
The illustrator didn't properly render the depth of field.
Fucking illustrators.
And.